You're listening to the USCA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USCA eventing news. Welcome to the USCA official podcast, episode 264. And this weekend, we have been waiting a little while for you listeners to give you a preview show, because obviously over the last few months, as everybody knows, eventing has been completely up in the air, but we are back up and running. And it is one of the first big internationals since we have been back eventing after COVID. And it is the first four-star short that we will see. And we have got a whole top class field of competitors. And we have got a stellar lineup of guests on the show for you as well, listeners. I will introduce them one by one. I will welcome, first of all, she is a double Great Meadow winner. She is the only person to have won the event twice. Welcome to the show, Jenny Branigan.
Hi, happy to be here.
We're looking forward to finding out what it takes to win at Great Meadow. And you've got a really busy weekend coming up as well with four horses in the four star. So we'll talk about their chances in a little bit more detail as well. But Max Corcoran is also with us. And Max, you are sort of a massive part of Team Great Meadow. So we really appreciate you taking a few minutes pre-event, which I'm sure is very busy for you as well.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always good to be chatting with you guys. Yep, we're busy and getting ready.
Well, we'll get a check-in on how things are looking event-wise in just a second. But finally, I will welcome my third guest, Rob Burke. Rob, it has been a fairly busy couple of weeks for you, I imagine.
Yeah, I feel like I have a hangover from post-AEC cancellation, and then we just finished our summer board meeting. So I'm a little tired, but I'm here in spirit. So let's go for it.
That's what we like. Let's just mention the AECs for a second, because we actually recorded an AEC preview show a couple of weeks ago, obviously before things all changed. But just a word on that, because obviously the cancellation, it was the last thing anybody wanted to do, but actually it's the right thing to do, bearing in mind the massive amount of travel that would be required for an event of that scale.
Yeah, with 41 people coming from 41 different states into the AEC, we just saw that kind of national pull of the event. And it really has turned into that, especially since we moved to Kentucky. So having 41 different states represented, it was just getting a little bit discomforting. And then there were some cancellations at the horse park, and we were actually going to be kind of on an island if we did run. And while we had total faith in the organizers and our team in running it, it just, there was so much uncertainty that we really, it came down for the Board of Governors to a decision of, do we cancel now and try to allow people to reroute to events like Great Meadow and other events around the country where it's more regional and they have they're able to, you know, not quite have as quite a large pull. And it just made sense in the end. I think Max made some really good points about it was a good ethical decision.
Yeah, I suppose it's that one, isn't it? You don't want to have to make that decision, but ultimately somebody has to. And Max, we're very much looking forward to a bigger and better AECs in 2021 now.
Absolutely. I think that is one of the, you know, in our heads when we're thinking about it. And, you know, it's, you know, as I said, it's the doing what you really want and doing what's actually right. And that's usually, it's like, you know, as I say, it sucks to be a grown up sometimes and making those decisions. And one of the things too, knowing that the American Eventing Championships are going to be at Kentucky next year, made it a little bit sting a little bit less, because people still have the opportunity to be able to be there. And we've tweaked the qualifications. So everybody that's been qualified for this year is qualified for next year. So everybody's still going to have the opportunity to be there and to participate. And it's going to be, you know, hopefully by then we're going to be so on top of this whole COVID nonsense. And hopefully there'll be some vaccines and something to help us out so we can have just an awesome celebration of everybody next year.
Yeah, and I'll jump into on the qualification and just say, you know, we'll put out an announcement shortly about the kind of adjusted qualifications Max is referencing, so that, Yeah, it's we want to make sure that the people who work so hard to qualify this year have a clear idea on how they can go next year without putting a whole lot of excessive new requirements on them.
I think that's amazing. And actually, I am sure that there will be people who have maybe would have been going feeling like actually their preparations over the last few months haven't been what they would have been, as with so many people haven't been able to go about what they would have normally done in preparation for a big championship. And hopefully next year, that will be very different. But we will look forward to the AECs in 2021. And listeners, let's talk about Great Meadow, because there is an absolutely amazing lineup of horses. 75, I think, are entered in the feature class, which is the 4-star short. Max, just give us a bit of background, because you're massively involved in the Mars Great Meadow International. And it has been, I think it's run the 4-star short in particular for the last 5 years, but it has become such a fixture, and seeing such a top quality field is true testament to the team's efforts.
Absolutely. It's, Great Meadow Foundation here in the Plains, Virginia, has been a place where they've had events come and go for over the last, I can't remember, 50 or so odd years. They've got a pretty active polo crew that's here as well. The eventing went away for a little bit. And then when David was coach of the U.S. team, they were looking for a place to have their final prep run before, must have been the World Championships, and either the World Championships or the Olympic Games. And so he had an unrecognized final outing here. And that sort of took a bit of traction. And then we had the Nations Cup here for a few years, which was a little bit tricky because it was in the middle of July and it was stinking hot here in Virginia, as it is. But we've been very lucky with the weather. And then when Richland Park, which was a very excellent competition out in Michigan, they decided to stop running their event just because they, and I totally respect it, they just got tired of running it, which is
hard work. Yeah.
At the end, on a Monday, you think of the same thing, like, why do we do this? And so that date opened up, and David O'Connor and Darren Millett, who are the organizers of the competition, applied for the date. And so now here we are at the end of August, which is a much nicer time to be here. So it's a great venue. They've built a beautiful new arena that's got a lot of atmosphere, where the dressage and show jumping is held. The cross country course is able to be fully irrigated. Part of it's on the old established steeplechase track that they have here, because this is where the Gold Cup is run every year. So it's just it's a pretty cool venue. For me, having lived in this area for 11 years, it's kind of a pseudo a local event for me too. So it's fun for me to be able to come here and see people and catch up and spend a little bit of time here.
And I think one of the things that we always see such a good field, but I mean, in terms of entries over the last few years, the biggest number of competitors in the 4-star, I think, is around 46. So we're seeing, 75 in the lineup this year. So
yes,
it is an absolutely bumper lineup. And perhaps that is horses that have rerouted from the AECs that obviously haven't been able to run, as we've just said. So we have got a brilliant event lined up for you listeners. And actually, I believe there is live streaming as well.
Yes.
And Horse and Country, you'll be able to watch it. I know I'm going to be tuned in. I think Karen O'Connor and Sinead Maynard will be doing the commentary as well, which is brilliant. But Jenny, you've won in Great Meadow twice. So 2015 and 2017, that was it. Both with your absolute superstar, Cumbalda. Just tell us what it is about the venue that stands out for you, because obviously pretty happy hunting ground. You're the only person to have ever won at the venue at that level twice.
I didn't know that until you told me.
There you go.
I love racing, and I love steeplechasing, so I love that venue because of watching races there. So originally that was something that probably the first time I came to Great Meadow was to do that. And then I started doing Twilight Jumpers there, and I would drive like from Pennsylvania down to Middleburg to go do that. I think Hannah Superdette originally told me about the class forever ago. So I had good memories there, and I knew how special that venue is to the jump racing people. So it kind of gave me a little bit of an extra love of it, and I was really excited to go ride there. But the first year I did it, it was in the Polo Arena, and it was our final outing for the Pan Am Games. And it was fun because winning that event, then I got to go as the traveling alternate to the Pan Am. So that was really, really neat. And then I was excited to be on the Nations Cup team in 2017. And I think getting up Cross Country Day, I didn't even realize I was had a shot to win it, to be honest. I think I might have been third or fourth or something going into the cross country. And it was a big surprise and a really a nice highlight for Kim Balda's career because he really kind of thrives at the short format events. That's really more of his favorite thing to do. So I have really wonderful memories there. And the Gardeners love it as well, which is neat because they're on the Fair Hill board. So it's nice that they really want to support Great Meadow, even though, you know, like they're two different venues and they really enjoy going there. So it's pretty special.
Isn't Kim Balda coming this year?
He might be. I haven't looked at the entry list.
Kim Balda is coming with the kid that he's riding. I'm pretty sure he's doing the two-star short, competing, come back here competing again with the person that's now leasing him, which is be very, very cool for that horse to be here.
Oh, my. Gardeners are going to be so excited.
It's amazing, isn't it, that he had obviously such an incredible career with you and obviously twice winner at Great Meadow to then be coming back and giving somebody else that experience. I just think it's exceptionally special. Jenny, do you get the chance to watch him often? Will you be going to seek him out this weekend?
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely go to watch him. It was neat because my rider, Alexa Lapp, who is like my right hand here, getting the horses going, she rode him before Maddie McLeoduff got to ride him and lease him. So that was really special. Now she's bringing up some of the Gardeners' young horses and he got to go to Young Riders with her. And that was really special for me. Like I flew out to Montana, like just to watch her go cross country and show jump. So he's a cool horse that way. Like he's just a really good boy. And like my groom Tyler has jumped him. Like he's just he's a really wonderful horse. And so it's fun to see him enjoying the job, and I wouldn't have him going out and doing it if I didn't think he was enjoying it. And he looks so well, like it's not no use having him sit in a field. I think he likes the attention. So it's really neat. We're going to keep him not going advanced anymore though.
Well, he's 18 and still absolutely loving life. So look out for him, listeners, on the results for this weekend as well. But let's talk about the four-star. Jenny, you've got four chances this year. Talk us through them all. If we start with Stella Artois, who would be perhaps the most experienced of the foursome and has had some really, really good results in her career already. Won the long format at Rebecca Farm last year, so is experienced at the level. She'll be spearheading your foursome, would that be fair to say?
Probably, and I think at this point, like I took her to the Fair Hill test event and she got a 26 on the flat. I didn't run her for time, but she show jumped clean as well, and Eric's really been helping me a lot to get her flat work, and James getting her flat work to a new level, and she's starting to score consistently in the 20s now, so we want to keep it going that way. So I plan to. I think the ground will be quite good to have a crack there. And if I had to pick who probably will be my best horse on the flat, though, after the dressage, it probably would be Bliss. So, but that's a new ride for me. But I'm quite excited about her as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about Bliss then. So you've got, if we just go through the four that you have in the lineup as it is. So you've got Stella Artois, you've got Bliss the third, Twilight's Last Gleam, and Ibella. So yes. They're your four entered. So tell us a little bit about Bliss and what will stand out for her on the flat.
Bliss is a horse that Alyssa Phillips owns and was riding through the advanced level. And Alyssa is going quite well on her Oscar horse, who's also entered in the event. And she decided that she would give me the opportunity to ride Bliss, which is very, very special. One thing that's really cool about the horse is its sire is the same sire as my horse Cooper that I had, which was a very special horse to me. And it's the only horse I've ridden that I would say she's just as talented as Cooper, and I feel very at home on her. It's ironic, like when I do any sort of training sessions, I'm like, why do I feel so at home on this horse and I've been riding it the shortest amount of time? But I'm really excited about her. I did the four-star short at Red Hills on her, and that was my first time taking her advanced, and this will be the second time. But I know her a lot better now, and I'm hoping to go out and have a crack with her. Twilight's Last Gleam actually did his first four-star short at Great Meadow last year, and I just cantered him around, but he's getting better and better on the flat. Eric's helped me a ton, so you know, this year's been so interesting where you don't know what's going to run or not. So I've taken it really easy at the horse trials and, you know, try to prep them well. And hopefully, you know, I plan to go there and try to compete this weekend. And I think the time at Great Meadow is it really plays into it. Like, it's not an event that's easy to make the time, as it's proven in the past. So I kind of like those events and the show jumping's tough, which I love as well. So, and that would be Ibella. She's in the top five at her last intermediate and advanced. And I'm actually slowly getting her trained, which is pretty cool. She's quite feisty. She's a brilliant jumper, like absolutely fantastic. And I've worked out riding her in a snaffle is the best thing to do cross country. And I've actually been trying to practice going a little quicker on her in a smooth way at the horse trial. She'd be the one horse that I've run a little bit faster in the intermediate and advanced this summer. And she likes that a lot better. So I feel like I've got a cool mix. I was going to run Stella Artois at the AEC, to be honest, but when that canceled, I was like, oh, can we get her in? And Steve Zemanski was lovely and got her into the event. So very excited.
You just touched upon it there, that the cross country time is notoriously tough. We didn't have anybody make the time last year or back in 2015. And then generally speaking, you'll only get a handful, anywhere between sort of 3, 4, 5 people making that time. What is it that makes the track tricky to achieve that optimum time, do you think?
It is quite, it's not twisty in a bad way. Like, you know, you don't run back on yourself or anything, but you do, he uses the terrain, and with galloping through the arena and some of the questions that were asked last year, I think it made it really hard to run the time. And the undulation, you know, like there's a pretty good hill in the back. And it just, you know, when you're going through those galloping lanes, I think sometimes you think you're going faster than you actually are. So especially running through the ring and whatnot. So I think that does play into it. The one year that I ran there, the ground was actually wet. You know, which is funny because you think, oh, you're going to go do an event in July and it's going to be hard ground, but it was not. So I know that played into it that year. And actually the course, I think rides tough. Like there's been enough people that have had, it's not one of those short formats you go to where everyone just goes clean. Like it's tricky enough that I think it makes people a little bit nervous. And also we're all prepping to get into the fall. So not a lot of people necessarily maybe are picking that event to go and run quick at. Like it's usually your first event back after you did a spring 3-day, you know, your first big one back. I think that might play into it a little bit as well. But certainly, I mean, Kimbalda was actually quite a fast horse because I never really had to take a pull on him. I was always kicking. I think the year that he won the second time, Boyd Martin was the only person that made the time. So it's just not an easy thing to do. And the course is, I think the track is great. I really love the event. I mean, not just because I've had good luck there. It's just, you feel like you're at a really proper event there. And I love that.
It is. It's David O'Connor who designs the cross country now, isn't it, Max? He took over from Mike Etherington Smith a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. He did. Yeah. And so he, I know Derek DeGrazia was out over the weekend to inspect the 4-star track. So I haven't seen his notes, but I don't think much has moved. I know David a little bit. The beginning of the track last year was you sort of weave back on yourself a little bit, and he's changed that a bit just to have it flow a little bit better. They go through the water at the end there instead of at the beginning. So it should give it a bit more of get you going, and then some of the harder stuff there at the end, which is nice.
They've got a spectacular organizing team too, with Darren and Max and the whole group. I mean, it makes it really, aside from the fact that it's a gorgeous venue, they just do a spectacular job.
It takes it to the next level. Let's talk about some of the key contenders. We've obviously touched upon Jenny's foursome. But Rob, I'll come to you first. Who stands out? Because obviously 75 entries, there's a whole host of top names, so we won't be able to mention them all. But who stands out for you? Who caught your eye on the
entries? Oh, man. I thought you were going to let me go last so I could change my vote. So Jenny's got me thinking a little bit when she talks, you know, about it being the first 4-star out in a while and prepping for the fall. So, you know, originally I was looking at last year's results, and I know a sneaky one that I think will probably be in there will probably be Colleen Rutledge on Covert Rights, just because they were second last year at the level. And I always think of Colleen as a pretty tough rider, and it's not too far from home for them. And I think Lauren Nicholson and Veronica have something to prove, and that's kind of an inside joke. I think Max will get it. And so I think she's going to come out gunning for a good finish. And then it's tough to pass on Philip, and I'll say Z, but I pretty much a litany of rides. So I'd say pick one.
He has got, how many has he got? 5, I think, entered in the 4-star. Yeah, he has. He's got 5. Sea of Clouds, Fernhill, Singapore. He won at the level below last time out, actually. Z, and then he's got 2 of Boyd Martin's in the field as well. Luke 140 and Blackfoot Mystery, who's having his first run at 4-star level, I think, since obviously having had time off after Rio. So that's really exciting to see him back. Of Philip's rides, I have to admit, I find it very hard to look past Z. And he has actually, in the Equa Ratings Prediction Center, a 9% chance of victory. There's only one horse, who I'll come on to in a second, who has a higher win percentage chance. But Philip is definitely in contention, and he's got Fernhill Singapore inside the top 10 in the Prediction Center as well. Max, who stands out for you?
Well, Jenny knows that I love her, the Bliss mare that she rides, and I've watched that mare since it was a preliminary horse, and I've been a bit obsessed with it for a long time. And she is very, very special. And I think she's just getting more mature. So for sure, I got Bliss on my radar. And I goes without saying that Veronica is just a badass. She is just she loves this sport a lot. And Lauren really isn't saving her for anything. So I have a feeling she'll let her run around as quick as she wants. She's not going to do any more long formats. So this is sort of Veronica's her gig now, and she will probably let her roll along. And then other ones that I never can, I'm sort of one of those that tries to pick the quieter ones. Will Fodry, when he is going, he can be very, very fast and extremely efficient on the cross country show jump quite well. And he's got a super little mare named Celeste that they call Mouse in the Barn. And I would put her on my list of top horses to keep an eye on for sure, because she's Will can be one of the fastest cross country riders out there. So, but it's, there's a whole lot of them. Be kind of fun to watch what happens, because Erin Sylvester with her Patty the Caddy, and Allison Springer, who's local here, has been quite good. And I agree, Colleen Rutledge, she likes to go quick, and so that'll be interesting to see that. And on and on and on and on and on. So it's going to be very cool. But I'm gonna pick the girls to end up on top.
Okay, fair enough. I have to admit, Will Fordry Celeste is a horse that I've actually followed from the very, very start of her career, because she was started by Kitty King over in the UK,
right?
And had a good deal of success at sort of 1-star level, as it was then, in the young horse classes, then came over to Will and has been really, really impressive at 3-star level. And the step up to 4-star with a few injuries hasn't quite happened until last year. And sort of really come off for them. But they're so competitive in all three phases, and she can be exceptionally quick, that I think she's certainly one that catches my eye. The other one you just mentioned, Paddy the Caddy, I have to admit to falling a little bit in love with Paddy the Caddy a couple He's of groovy. Years ago at Carolina. And I will always, you're not meant to have favorites, but I definitely do. It's okay. It's fine. Okay, let's talk about a couple of the other contenders, just to sort of point them out to you, because there are it's so much strength and depth here. Marilyn Little has RF Scandalous out for the mare's first international of 2020. They actually haven't had a prep run recently. I think they're heading to, or they'll have headed to Ocala. We're recording this before the weekend, but I think that is the plan, certainly. And the one thing I would say about this mare is she is so impressive in the first phase that you would most likely be looking at your dressage leader pretty much without a doubt, I think. And it is a case of how low can she go, and whether she's sort of early 20s. And she even broke sub 20 a couple of years ago in Bromont. But if the time is tough on the cross country, she will need, I think, a little bit of breathing room for having put in a very good dressage. So she'll be looking to have a bit of a buffer because there would be some quicker horses in the field, perhaps. So Marilyn Little is there. Who else have we got? Liz Halliday-Sharp has some great chances. She's got Fernhill by Night, who is a winner at the level. And he again, is a little bit like Veronica now. You know, Liz isn't going to run him just for a preparation run for anything else. This is his gig now in terms of he specializes in the short format. She can run him quickly. He's so reliable. He loves the short format of the sport as well. So Fernhill by Night, but she's also got Cooley Quicksilver. De Niro Z is in there as well for her. And I think a first time 4-star horse in Flash Cooley, who has been super impressive coming up the grade. So look out for Liz's rides. Who else have we got that we should mention? Kim Severson has Cooley Cross.
It's going to be great to see Kim back because that's a great combination, and it's going to be really fun to see her back at the level. I know the horse had an injury out last year, and so she's really pays her dues, and I'm sure that horse is going to come out and dance on the first day.
Yes,
And she will. I think she will probably not go blasting out the start box, but she will be competitive up until then.
Yeah, they had a good competitive run recently, actually. Did a 25 in the dressage. Put in a good clear round in the show jumping because Cooley Cross Border are very, very good in the show jumping phase. And then Kim had a slight moment and jumped a wrong fence on the cross country. Definitely won't be doing that this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Some of the boys, you get Bruce Davidson's got, or sorry, Buck.
Buck, yeah.
Buck's got a bunch of them. And I know he was hurt recently, but it sounds like all systems go. So,
And Will Coleman's got a bunch of good ones too.
Yep.
Alyssa Phillips and Oscar, I think she'll be her. The only person that's beat Marilyn Little in the past year. She was top 10 at her first 4-star short at the Jockey Club, and she won Red Hills this spring, which was impressive. It was like,
Alyssa flies a little bit under the radar, but she is tough. She's good.
And Harbor Pilot and Hannah Sue are there, huh?
Harbor Pilot.
Willie.
Yes. If anybody knows that horse, they want to like him. It's just sometimes hard.
I think there's always a horse a little bit like that. Will Coleman actually won back in 2018, which was the really, really tough cross country year. He won then with Off the Record, and he, I think, has three rides in the
four-star
tight lines, TKS Cooley and Don Dante as well. So he comes with a really strong hand. There's going to be some very, very busy riders this weekend.
Yeah.
They have more energy than me. I'm tired just thinking about it.
Yeah.
The other one, I've got a dark horse to look out for in terms of that could be pretty quick in the cross country, and that is Galloway Sunrise, who I think is definitely one to keep an eye on. Now, Rob, when we were talking about this pre-recording, you sort of went straight in there with a horse that you mentioned a little bit earlier on this year that you actually have got lined up in this field as well.
Yeah, he's young. He's only 8 years old, but Mixmaster C. I keep saying that one of these days we're going to be talking more about Mixmaster C and Maya Black, and I like Maya a lot as a horsewoman, so yeah. Keep an eye on them. Pair to watch.
She's a very, very good competitor.
It makes all the difference. Okay, let's just run down that starting order for you again. If we go to Lauren Nicholson has Vermiculous in as well as Veronica. She's got, and Landmark's Monte Carlo as well. So she's got a really, really strong hand. There is Will Fordry has Fun too. Emily Bashir, Only Uncle Sam. And actually, before I forget to talk about them, Tim Burke and Quality Time, who I saw a couple of years ago in Carolina, and she's super, super quick. And actually very, very good in the jumping phases as well. So I think they are certainly ones to watch out for. And Tim has had, he's sort of been knocking on the door a little bit, obviously, he rides for Ireland, but he's based in the States. And I do think that this could certainly be a horse that could see him in contention for Irish teams in the future too. So they would be my picks. Now, can we do a podium? Can I put you on the spot? Who will be, I mean, I know Jenny's on the show, but I don't want, Rob, we're not allowed to put any bad luck on Jenny.
Okay, so I won't pick
otherwise
a Jenny
she'll
horse.
Never came back. She'll
I
never
won't pick
back.
A Jenny horse, and that way she'll probably win. So come all three, actually.
There you go. You'll be on 1, 2, 3 on the podium, Jenny, and 4th, just for good measure. Why not? Go on, Rob. Give us your final podium.
All right. I'm going to go... Gonna go wild here. I'm gonna go. Lauren and Veronica are one. Philip and Z are two, and Colleen are three. And Covert Rights, sorry, Colleen and Covert Rights are three.
Okay, go on then, Max.
I'm gonna because I'm not gonna jinx Jenny because I don't do that to her. I only jinx her when I go work for her for the weekend. I'm going to go Bliss. I don't know if you're going to go fast on her, but I'm guessing I'm going to go Bliss. I'm going to go Veronica, and then I'm going to go, I'm going to go Celeste. I'm going to pick the girls.
Okay. Jenny, do you want me to put you on the spot to pick a podium, or would you rather decline gracefully?
I'll decline gracefully.
Very good, man. That's okay. I am going to say that I think Arlivo and Buck Davidson will finish in third. I don't think they'll be quite quick enough on the cross country to challenge any higher up the podium, but I'm going to say they're going to finish in third. I will say that, God, I always put myself under so much pressure. it doesn't make any difference, but even so. But I will say... Oh, Liz Halliday Sharp in second, with Fernhill by Night, I'm going to say. And then I'm torn. Do I go Philip Dutton? I will go Philip Dutton and Z for the win.
Yeah. Oh, Z. Yeah.
There we go. Yes. They're going to be my top three. But God, watch this space. Listeners, we hope that you will tune in to all of the coverage throughout the weekend. It is going to be an absolutely fantastic Great Meadow International. Team, thank you all so much for coming on. And Jenny, thank you for joining us as well. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Max, Rob, thank you both as well. It is a pleasure as always.
Thank you, Nicole. This has been kind of fun.
Cheers.
Cheers. Good luck. Listeners,
Rob,
thank you
both
very
tired.
Much.
You have to excuse us.
listeners, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, we love hearing from you. Get in touch with us. Tag us when you listen at US Eventing. We would love to see when and where you are listening to the podcast. And don't forget, tell your friends as well. And enjoy Great Meadow this weekend. A huge thank you to you listening. A huge thank you to our guests on the show. We'll be back very soon with another episode of the USEA official podcast. We'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.